to die and everything like that. But this week, we get to give you heaven. Really, that's it? Okay, we're going to give you heaven today. There you go. That's better. That's a little bit better. Thank you for doing that. Now, so we're going to walk through some of the questions that you submitted last week. And I tell you what, they're incredible questions. And we won't be able to get to every one of them because we just wouldn't have enough time. But as we do that, we talk about heaven. And we'd be careful to say, this is what we know, and this is what we think that we know. Now, it's important for us to hang on to the things, right, that the Bible says. So we're committed to that. So the Bible says this. We don't have a freedom to think this over here. We really, really don't. Now, there are a lot of areas where we're going to have a variety of opinions, and that's okay. The Bible doesn't speak directly to it as long as it's not in opposition to the Bible. Sometimes we think that we're so smart, don't we, that we got this thing all figured out, and God should come and ask us a question every now and then, just so that we could like let Him know what's up. One of our worship team members, I won't tell you who, was asking this morning, say, "Have you ever received a B in your life?" It was a female. Said, "No, I've never received a grade B in my life." And you know what? Actually, that's part of my story because I never have either. I'll just let you think whatever you want to think, you know. So the reality is, like, I was never that good, you know. So there's hope for us. But regardless of how smart we think we are, the Bible does speak very, very directly to some things. And we're going to be talking about that. And then we have freedom in some areas. And we'll try to direct you in that as well. But this is Dave. Yeah. So, yeah. Dave's, and for some of you, you know, it's the first time I invited Dave. Said, "Why don't we do this thing together?" Dave is our lead teacher in traditions at 9 o'clock, and always teaching the same thing. But let's do this thing together. So we streamed into traditions, and if you've not met Dave, I really want you to meet him. He looks like the perfect child. I know, you know, that any parent would have loved to have Dave as a son. So you know, perfect Dave, but. Honestly, someday I'm gonna ask Dave to share his story to you, because it's an amazing, incredible story, journey that Dave has walked through as a child, and then receiving the Lord later in life. He was trained as a chemical engineer.
I'm still recovering.
Yeah, a recovering chemical engineer. But Dave has walked through times in his life and days in his life that will make many of us go, really? And I'm going to have him share his story someday. But Dave was saved, has spent over 30 years in missions ministry prior to coming on our team on Gateway. He's been with us for 13 years now. Dave oversees all of our missions outreaches, include our local missions, which include all of our feeding programs, all of our outreaches into the community, regional, and our global outreach. He's also the director of pastoral staff. He serves in so many roles. He's incredibly gifted. And I've said this to Dave. I've also said it publicly. He knows more about missions, honestly, than anybody I know. And so I go to Dave and ask him questions. I've learned so much from him. And we're just so grateful to have you on the team.
Well, I just wanted
to say that about you and honor you and thank the Lord for what you're doing here. So
you are too kind. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
It's a privilege.
Awesome. So we get to do this thing together. So let's talk about heaven. So Randy Alcorn says something that's really good. Now, Randy Alcorn wrote this book called Heaven, and it's a book I would commend to you. It's probably the finest book, I think, that has been written to date. He promises God a new earth. If the word earth in this phrase means anything, it means that we can expect to find earthly things there, including atmosphere, mountains, water, trees, people, houses, even cities, buildings, and streets. How many have ever thought about that moment when you die and you try to kind of, in your mind, wrap around what it's going to be like? Anybody? I have. Now, I mainly think about, like, time because, you know, so I tend to, I like to talk. And I like to talk with people and like to meet people. And, time it always seems so short. So I'm thinking, endless time in this place, you know, called heaven. And we're going to get to this part of it in just a little bit. But the Bible says something about our bodies. Now, how many are waiting for something new to happen to your body? This is when it's going to happen, right? Here we go. New bodies. 1 Corinthians 15:43. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. That's really good news right there. So here's what you should do. Look at the person beside you and say, cheer up. It's going to get better. That's true. Like, that body that you're trapped in right now, you know, it's actually going to get better. So these bodies right now are wearing, they're wearing down, right? So I don't know, if you looked in the mirror this morning, you were one day older than you were yesterday, and things kind of begin to look a little bit differently.
It's all right? Downhill from here.
Yeah, exactly. But we're going to have these brand new bodies, and we work so hard to maintain them, don't we? So we go to the gym, and we eat carrots, and we eat veggies, and all this kind of stuff, just to try to make it go right for us. But every day and every year, you know, I like to run, and so what I have found is that every time the calendar year comes around, I get a little bit slower, a little bit more tired. It's just like, but that day's coming, man. Brand new bodies. Okay, how many are tired? I got good news for you. How many are kind of like tired? So, like, you're just on the edge right now of going to sleep. I'm doing everything I can. So, maybe I told you before, if you take all the people in the world who sleep in church and lay them end to end, they'd be more comfortable. So, anyway, but here's the deal. Okay, so guess what heaven's going to be like? Are you ready? Rest. Yay for rest. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed. Are you ready? For they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Isn't that going to be fantastic? It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be glorious. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is just a little bit of what you have to look forward to. Now, there are some things that we don't know. There are some things we don't know. Deuteronomy 29:29, and I go to this passage a lot, just says this, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. So I like that passage because it just reminds me there's things in God's mind that only he knows. And so we try to figure it out. We try to discern and we study and we read and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. But in the end, it's okay to say, you know what? God, you're the only one who knows this. You're the only one who knows. And so I'm going to walk in obedience to you, and I'm going to trust in you. And so there are some things that we're going to talk about that we're going to go, this we know, this we think, but in the end, we trust Jesus for everything, right? So what does the Bible say about all those who will go to heaven? This is the good news part. John 3:16 is a very familiar passage, maybe one that you've even committed to memory. What does the Bible say about those who will go to heaven? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that, whoever does what? Believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what we're talking about today. Just a little bit later in that chapter, in verse number 36, it says this, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. So you're a follower of Jesus. You have eternal life, guaranteed. This is good news.
Amen.
This is what this means. You came to Jesus later in life. Someday you'll tell your story. I came to Jesus as a 9-year-old. I've shared that. But in that moment, when a 9-year-old comes to faith, and an adult comes to faith, the guarantee is the same. It doesn't make any difference that at 9, I didn't get into all too many things. You know, I was a terror, but, you know, I didn't get into all that kind of stuff. You know, your life was a little bit different. Your story's a little bit different. But in that moment, when I place my trust and faith in Jesus, eternal life was guaranteed, and that's your story. So if you just came to faith just like this week, you have the same guarantee that I have, each and every one of us does. We do, because as we place our faith in him, as we believe in him, he has created a place for us. That's our belief. He guarantees us this brand new home.
Tom, just one thought on that. It doesn't say we can look forward to it. It says we have, present tense.
Yeah, that's a good word. See, that's a chemical engineer right there. Yeah. So that's right. So we have. Now, we're going to address some of the questions, okay? Man, you guys wrote down some really, really good questions. Some of them not so easy to kind of work through. We're going to do our very, very best. What about babies who die without the opportunity to place their faith in Jesus? One of the questions is about babies who have been aborted or miscarried. And those are really, really good questions. I'm glad that they were asked. Now, I believe in, and Gateway takes a position, that life begins at conception. And so we really talk about this area of age of accountability. So what is the age of accountability? What is that all about? The concept of the age of accountability is that children are not held accountable by God for their sins until they reach a certain age. And that if a child dies before reaching the age of accountability, that child will, by the grace and mercy of God, be granted entrance into heaven. Now, that's what we hold. That's what we believe. And we believe that up until the point of a child's ability to understand and make the decision to follow Jesus, that God in his mercy and his grace would save that child should he or she dies. And that includes babies who have been aborted, and that includes babies who have been miscarried. That also includes young children and babies who do not have the mental capacity to understand and grasp what it means to follow Jesus. Now, sometimes that can include babies and children and adults who just mentally can't grasp that. This is one of the areas that we don't know. What we do know is that people who place their faith and trust in Jesus will inherit eternal life. What we do know is God's grace and mercy is extended to those who do not have the ability to understand and grasp the good news of the gospel. Now, when you talk about the age of accountability, the first thing that comes to our mind is, okay, what is the age of accountability? Do you want me to tell you? I was getting ready to wow you with the age of accountability. Some answer. Do you want to know what the age of accountability is? I don't know. And the Bible really doesn't speak directly to that. Now, Jewish tradition, I think, is like age 13, but there's no biblical support for that. This is one of those areas that we just trust Jesus in, right? He knows, and our faith is in him. Charles Spurgeon says this: a child of 5 can as truly be saved and regenerated as an adult. So I believe it varies from child to child, really from person to person, depending on where they are in life. That's one of those areas that we just don't really know. But we do know God is just, and God is holy, and God hates sin, and God loves people, and our trust is in him, right?
Exactly. Based on what you just said, I believe that life begins at conception.
Right.
And that means that all those 60 million kids that have been aborted
exactly
are going to be there with us.
Oh, absolutely.
I look forward to meeting them.
No, absolutely. So that's absolutely true. And miscarriage, everything, you're 100% right. Yep. That's what we believe, and that's why we answer the question
Amen. That
way. But we have a really, really hard question, and this is one that is difficult for us to understand and will cause some of us to go, okay, and we're just going to trust Jesus. And that's, what about people who never have the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel, like unreached people groups, or the question was stated this way, unconnected tribes and so on, the nation of Israel. And Dave is going to answer that question.
Yeah. It's a great question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Do people who've never heard the gospel go to heaven? And I'm sure that all of us who are here today, if you know Jesus, you've thought about this. Mm-hmm. Who is it that goes and who doesn't, and if about those who don't hear? And I think that the answer to this question has implications for how we live life, how we do church, how we do missions. Mm-hmm. It impacts a lot of things in our lives. So we need to be very careful about looking at what the Scripture has to say about this and answer it properly. So let's look at the options. If we believe that everybody goes to heaven, then this is a non-issue. if they've never heard, no big deal. Everybody goes to heaven. We're all happy. But I don't believe that. No. The Bible doesn't teach that. So that's not an option for me as a follower of Jesus and a believer in the Bible. Second, if we believe that everyone who's not heard about Jesus goes to heaven, then we don't need to worry about it. If God is just just and he's just going to send them to heaven because they've never had a chance to hear, then we don't need to worry about missions and let's just shut down the missions department. And I don't believe that. I think that the scripture is very clear that that's not the case. This is not what we believe. So that leaves us only with a couple of options. One is that some who don't ever hear the gospel get to go to heaven, or none get to go to heaven if they haven't heard the gospel and responded to it. I happen to adhere to the second one, and that's the view I hold, that I believe that no one who dies without having heard about Jesus can go to heaven. That's hard. It's hard to say that, and it's probably hard for some of you to hear that, but that, I believe, is what the Bible teaches. I want to take you to Romans chapter 1. This is a passage that talks about what we call general revelation, how God has revealed himself generally in creation. He says this, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." So let me pause there for a second. People see creation, and they should be able to see that God created. Okay. So, it goes on, "They are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." That's hard, but that's what the Bible says. John Piper is a pastor that I respect and I really like the way he teaches. I don't agree with everything he says, but most things. And when asked the question, what happens to those who have never heard of Christ, this is how he responded. He said, "They perish, and they perish justly." And he went on and talked about Romans 1. He said, Romans 1 says that although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. People have had a chance to see, but no one can really truly respond because we're broken people. We're lost. We need to hear the good news about Jesus. Everyone needs to hear it and respond to it. There is good news, though, that goes with this. In Revelation, we read that around the throne of God, there are people from every tribe and tongue and nation, every. Not one is left out. So at some point, somehow, the message of Jesus is going to get to every tribe and tongue. God is good, God is just, we know that. They will have an opportunity, not maybe every person, but every tribe, every nation, every unreached people group. There's another verse I love, Matthew 24, 14. It says, it's a promise. It says, "This good news about the kingdom will go forth and be preached throughout the whole world so that every nation, every ethne, every people group will hear it. And then the end will come." Yeah. So we have a promise that Jesus isn't coming back until every people group has a chance to hear. That's good news. That verse tells us three things we need to think about. One is that once every ethne or every people group has heard the gospel, Jesus will return. That's good news.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that day. Secondly, it tells us that he won't return until that job's done. And that means we've got some work to do. There are over 7,000 unreached people groups, and we need to reach them so that Jesus can come back and we can go to heaven with him. And the third thing it teaches us is that every people group will have a chance to hear. And that's good news, and God is good.
This is where I pray that the realization and the knowledge of what the Bible says about people in the world today will just grow passion. That we begin to see people in the world today as lost. That the way that we steward our lives, talk about that in a little bit, the way we steward every part of our lives is alignment with what Jesus called us to do. And we do so with passion to reach people because of the reality of what Dave just shared. Gateway is focused on three unreached people groups, the Garhwali, and many of the Garhwali are reached, but there are villages in the Himalayas, they call them the Himalayas, that the gospel has never been shared with, and they have a different dialect and different language. Geographically, it just has never got to them. Something like 2,000 or 3,000 villages. The Basque, we talk about the Basque. The Wolof, let me talk about the Wolof for just a second. So I pray that this community is filled with passion to reach the Wolof, because we know that around the throne, there will be Wolof people.
Amen.
There'll be Wolof people. Not every Wolof, just like not everyone Americans, right? But there'll be Wolof around. But here's what I want to tell you. I pray, Jesus, give us the passion to reach these people called the Wolof. We go, Gateway, we go to a little village in Senegal, in San Luis. And I wish I could take all you there. What you would experience there is tremendous hospitality. They would invite you into their homes. You would be loved and you'd be cared for just the best that they can, and even fed the best that they could do. They're so hospitable. But there are people that do not know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. That's why we go. There's one family, as I recall, that knows Jesus in this village. That's why we go. That's why we pray that the chief will have dreams of Jesus, because we know Muslims come to faith via dreams. We know that the chief comes to faith, then the village will be impacted in such a great way. See, I don't think we even understand it. But Jesus, give us passion, because here's what your word says, what we just shared. Give us passion to share the good news here locally and in the world today. And so I pray in my own life, and then for the life of this community as well. Well, another question was, what about purgatory? So many of you come from, or numbers come from, Catholic background. And so this question was asked numbers of times, two or three times, I think. What about purgatory? And for some of us, like, we go like, what's purgatory? And I've heard it, but I've never really known about it. Well, the Catholic Church defines purgatory as its purification process to achieve holiness. In other words, you die, you go to purgatory as an imperfect person. Purgatory is a place that a Christian soul goes after death to be cleansed of the sins not fully satisfied in this life. That's purgatory. So the question is that true or not true? And I just want to say it really, really clearly, that is not true. That is not biblical. Purgatory is not a biblical concept at all. Here's the reason why. When you die, when you place your faith in Jesus for the very first time, you stand redeemed. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what your history is. I don't care what your past is. When you trust Jesus and you place your faith in him, that prayer was, Jesus, I give my life to you, and that's it. I confess my sins to you. I call you Lord of my life. In that moment, your sins are paid for.
Past, present, and future.
Past, present, and future. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says this, he is a propitiation for our sins. That means he is our full appeasement, right? He's satisfied forever. In his sacrifice on the cross, he paid the penalty of death.
And satisfied the righteous judgment of God on sin.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, purgatory, no. That's unbiblical. When you place your faith and trust in Jesus, you are forgiven and you stand before him as perfect. Another question was this. Will we recognize one another, our loved ones? That's a really good question. So my mom passed away last year. She's with Jesus. My niece passed away just a couple months ago. She's with Jesus. So when I pass away, and when I go to heaven, I'm with Jesus, will I be recognized at who I am? And the answer is yes. Yes. Now, let me quote Randy Alcorn. That's a book I commend you, Heaven. What he says, in heaven, I'll be Tom Dushman. Now, not Randy Alcorn, but I'm putting my name in there. In heaven, I'll be Tom Dushman without the bad parts. Forever. Hallelujah is right. All that stuff is gone. I'll be in heaven. I'll be Tom Dushman without the bad parts forever. If you know Jesus, you will be you without the bad parts forever. You'll be known. You'll be you in heaven. If Bob is an example, if Bob, a man on earth, is no longer Bob when he gets to heaven, then in fact, Bob didn't go to heaven. If when I arrive in heaven, I'm not the same person, then I didn't go to heaven. We will be known as we are known. We will be with Jesus. Last week I shared the story of out of Luke chapter 16, the rich man and the poor man who went to heaven, Lazarus, and then the rich man. And they were known. I mean, we read that in the parable in the story that Jesus shared. And if you didn't get that, you should go back and actually get part one and then part two of the teaching, and that will catch you up. We will be recognized for who we are. So you will be Dave.
Indeed. I will be. My question,
awesome,
though, is will you have a middle name?
So he's making fun of me now, see, because I don't have a middle name. And so, no, I will be known as Thomas A. Dushman. That's all. My mother, okay. I don't know. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah. So, so like that. And you're going to be Dave, too. So you beat. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
All 5 foot one of you.
Perfected 5 foot one. Yeah.
Yeah, because you said when you last gathered, he said, well, I'm going to get to heaven. I think I'm going to be 6 foot five.
And good looking.
And good looking. I said, that is wishful thinking. That is not even the Bible. But there are some secrets only known to God. So maybe you will be.
Who knows?
I highly doubt it.
Maybe you'll be 5'1".
So, yeah, exactly. But we will be known as we're known. We will be. So we won't be going like, who are you? Okay. So the other question then is, will heaven be the same for every believer? So when we get there, will we be just kind of like all the same? That's a good question.
Will heaven be the same for every believer? No. Let's close in prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
exactly. Yeah. No, that's true.
No, it won't be. Because the Bible talks about at least two judgments. The first one is to separate believers from unbelievers. You go to heaven or you go to hell. But then there's a second judgment called the Bema Seat of Christ, where it says every believer will come before Jesus and be judged for the works they've done in the flesh, whether good or bad. And I want to take you to a passage in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. It says this: for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Talking about believers there. We must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. And then the one that really is the clincher that's really clear is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now try to imagine this in your mind. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So back up there for a second. There is one foundation for our faith. That's Jesus. But every man, every woman, every follower of Jesus gets to build on that platform. We're building, so to speak, a spiritual building. And he's talking about that. And then he goes on, he says, now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he'll suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So I have this mental picture from this 1 Corinthians 3 passage of when I pass into eternity, all the things that I've done since I met Jesus are going to be piled up in a big pile, all the works, good or bad. And Jesus is going to say to the angel, hit it. He's going to have this huge flamethrower that just goes.
Yeah, that's a visual.
And my work's just kind of like, and there's a lot of smoke. And then there's a few things left that are the gold, silver, precious stones, where I serve the Lord out of a good heart, faithfulness, in the power of the Holy Spirit. All the stuff that went up in smoke is, you know, my selfishness. I did it for wrong motives, just, you know, those kind of things. So it's a very clear picture here that Paul gives us of what that judgment will be like. And I think there's a couple things that come out of that. We need to really be serious about how we're investing in eternity. Think about your life. Are you investing in this dot on the line of eternity that we call life? Are you investing in that eternity? Because how you spend this dot, this life, is going to determine how you spend eternity. Whether you smell like smoke for eternity, or whether you live in a beautiful mansion. Yeah. But we will be there together. So yeah. There's good news in
that's
all that.
Good news. And also, yeah. I think we'll have roles and responsibilities in heaven as well.
There's a place in Montana I've asked the Lord if I could take care of. Just saying. If anybody wants to come visit.
No, I love Montana, but I don't think Montana is like in the plan. So anyway, maybe. Okay. Could be. Okay, last question. We got to wrap up real quick here. So maybe Montana is in the plan. God, I love Montana. Don't send me emails, okay? So finally, where are we before the new heavens and new earth? Again, a really, really good question. So when we die, where are we before the creation of the new heavens and new earth? I'll take you to a passage of scripture, then we're going to pray and wrap up here in just a moment. First of all, we don't believe in, the Bible does not support what's called soul sleep, and so maybe you have heard that. So we kind of go into this state of sleeping. Now, the scripture I'm going to show you in just a moment, you're going to see sleep. But when the Bible talks about sleep, it is not talking about soul sleep. Soul sleep is this place, you know, people who promote soul sleep, you just go there and you kind of like, well, you go to bed at night and you wake up in the morning like, whoa, what happened to the night? It's not like that at all. I believe that we're fully aware in the presence of Jesus. The reason why the Bible uses the word sleep is because when you're dead, it appears that you're asleep. And so that's kind of, I think, the connection there. So when we die, we are fully present with Jesus. Now, in what state? This is one of those areas where, you know, some people believe we'll have a temporary body and so on. I don't think there's much support for that in the Bible, but if that's you, that's just fine. I think we have some freedoms there. But we are with Jesus, fully alive with him, while we wait the time of Christ's return to earth. So when you die, it's okay to say you're in heaven, if you mean we're present with Jesus, awaiting the time of restoration, the new heavens and the new earth. And so the passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. So there's the word right there, caution you, that just means those who have passed on. That you may not grieve as others who do not have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep, and those who have passed on. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep, who are with Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ. In other words, those who have died will rise first. That's a good time to go, woo, okay. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So we are, where are we? Before the new heavens and the new earth, we are with Jesus. We are with him, awaiting the time and the restoration of all things. Now, when it comes to this place in the Bible, and the question I've been asked numerous of times is, what about cremation? Is cremation biblical? So here's how I'm going to answer that. There is no command in the Bible that prohibits a person from being cremated. There are those people who feel like that it's better to be buried because of some of the references to fire and judgment, that type of thing in the Bible. But this is not an area that the Bible speaks to. It's an area that I believe that we are free to choose. And Mark Pearson, who was lead pastor before me, he was cremated. I'm going to be cremated. I told Jen that cremate me, burn me up after I am dead. So do this. Okay. Now,
it's a good call.
Yeah, that's a good call. So, but there is no biblical command against creation or cremation. And here's the concern by some. Well, what about this reference of, you know, our bodies coming together? But they've been cremated. Well, let me ask you this. What's the status of a body that's been in the grave for hundreds of years? It's dust, man. It's dust. And here's the deal. God is not going to have a... He's not... During this time, he's not going to go like, where's that arm? Where'd that bone go? Where'd it go? You know, what happened to it? You know, I got to find it. I got to put it together. Like, that is not... that God is not going to do that. So, listen, God will have no problem with your cremated body if that's what you choose. Just like he's not going to have any problem with your dust, you know, if you're in the grave for hundreds of years at all. Listen, this is a God who created something out of nothing. He will have zero problem with your body. Amen. That's that. Okay. So, quickly, two things. We have really gone over. I apologize. I'm sorry. Right now, the children's workers are just freaking out. Like, they're thinking this has happened right here. All the Christians are gone. No, they're not thinking that. Okay. The passage of time is something that Dave and I have talked about. What about, and that was a question. So what about, is there awareness of time for those who are present with Jesus? I kind of think so, but it's not like you go to sleep and you wake up and all of a sudden, boom, hours have gone by. But again, it's one of those areas where we have freedom to kind of think about that. Other quick question is, you know, what about animals in heaven? You know, and I've said this, and I said this, and I got corralled in the lobby by my sister when I said, I believe there'll be animals in heaven. I just don't believe your pet will be there. Now, I'm a dog lover, right? I love to think our dog's going to be in heaven, but animals don't have souls. So that's kind of my thinking there. She got me and grabbed me by my jacket. She's only 5'1", wishing like you she'd be 6 foot when she's in heaven. But she grabbed me like this and she says, Tawny is going to be in heaven. You know. Okay.
Let me just say.
So I'm thinking that's the area you want to believe, fine.
Randy Alcorn thinks that they may be there.
No, animals will be in heaven.
Yeah, pets even. So well, there's room for discussion on that.
Maybe.
Maybe not your pets, but mine will be.
Here's what we know. You're a follower of Jesus. Good news. You're going to be there. Amen. Let's stand together. So yay. Look at the Lord of hand. Yay. See, he's created this place for you. He's created this place for you and
Tom,
for me.
The last verse of that 1 Thessalonians passage says, therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Yeah.
I hope you're encouraged.
That's exactly right. And you know what? Jesus, give us passion to share this good news, this story. Next week, we're going to be talking about, Mara and I are going to be teaming up on this one, the 5 regrets of dying. Listen, don't miss next week and bring someone with you because it will change you. I promise you. We're going to be looking at the Bible too. This will change you. I know it will. So that's next week's. Jesus, fill us with passion, I pray. God, we spent a number of weeks talking about eternity, the reality of eternity. The reality is not everybody is going to be with you. You've given us this message of hope, this good news of the gospel to take to our friends, to our neighbors, to our relatives, to the 1,800 plus people that we're praying for, dear Jesus. God, I would pray that you will continue to create opportunities, to divinely orchestrate opportunities, Lord Jesus, to share this good news of eternity with you. Pray, Jesus, that we will steward our lives, steward our gifts, steward our finances in such a way that, Jesus, you will be glorified in all the earth. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.